Welcome to the Insurance Journal Advertising and Marketing Podcast, or IJAM for short. I'm Julie Tenney.
And I'm Darren Swack.
And we are marketing geeks. We like to learn new things. We like to share them. And usually the way this goes is I'll say, hey, Darren, here's something new I learned. And then he'll say, hold my beer. And then he already knows about it, plus a lot more. And so I thought it'd be fun to share this with everybody else. And so today, well, you know what I should say? Maybe this is IJAM 2.0, since it's the two of us. Because I used to have IJAM, and then I just abandoned it, right?
It lives on in my heart, but there hasn't been a new post for a couple of years.
It's true. But there's so much going on right now in the marketing world that it seems like it would be... it'd be strange if we didn't talk about it. And so today we wanted to talk a little bit about all the things that are going on in AI, artificial intelligence, and how it relates to the marketing world. For me, I started playing with it back in December, and I think that is how a lot of things started. I had this flashback to when I started playing with social media, and we were all wondering, like, is that going to be a thing? You know, you're like, if I do this, what happens? Right. And so back in December, I was with a bunch of friends, and we started playing with different prompts, and I wondered if it could write lyrics. Right. So went to ChatGPT and I said, write a country song about a man in the woods with a bobcat as a companion. And it wrote this pretty good set of lyrics, you know, the chorus and everything. And then I played it with the guitar and we were laughing. It was funny. But then we started talking about, wait, what are the ramifications of this? Like, who owns this song? So... have you done anything like that, Darren? How have you started playing with it?
Yeah, for songwriting has been fun with my dad also over the Christmas break. We had it write some stuff and we're impressed with just, you know, that it seemed to be. I mean, if you didn't know it was written by an AI and you heard it on the radio, you would just think it was something that was written by a human. I'm also kind of enthralled by the idea that in addition to this text-based version of ChatGPT and GPT-4, that, you know, we have the abilities as well to train the AI on a specific singer's voice. So we could take your country song and train it on the voice of Garth Brooks and have a computer sing that. And that makes it even more the ramifications of that. You know, who owns that song? Could Garth Brooks sue you for, you know, using his likeness in this?
Well, it does seem like at the very least that Garth should get a little piece of that, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
In my job, I've used quite a bit the image generation, you know, capabilities that AI is starting to have with Midjourney and Midjourney 5 that just came out. Speaking of those ethical considerations, there are a couple lawsuits against Midjourney right now because apparently when they were training the AI on, you know, how to make art, they scraped all the images from the internet, many of which were from, you know, real artists that are working for that as their living. And so now, even though it puts out something new that's not, you know, just rip off copy from somebody, an artist can see their influence and say, hey, I designed that style. That's something that I developed over my whole career. It's not fair that now an AI can just put that out in 1 second and take away all my business. I don't know. What do you think about that? It's similar to how, as an artist, we see art through our whole life and develop our own style, but it does feel a little bit different now that a computer is just doing it instantly.
It doesn't seem fair to the artist. But then again, you could also make the case that you know, the collages that people have made through the years of art could also be up for a lawsuit and probably have been. So I've always wondered about that, you know, about how much of the art, and I'm sure that there's a percentage, but like how much of the art can be used or modified before it belongs to the artist. And I know, you remember Vanilla Ice, you know, and that whole lawsuit, right? Where he's like, no, it's not dun 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 dun, it's dun 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 dun, you know?
I've heard the story, but I don't know the outcome. Did he win that lawsuit or
I don't
did Queen?
know. I think he did. I think he did. We should look that up. I don't know.
How about I ask GT before?
You want to? I was hoping you would do that while we were doing this. Let's see how this thing works.
All right. So Vanilla Ice, whose real name is Robert Van Winkle, was involved in a copyright infringement lawsuit in the early 1990s over his hit song, Ice Ice Baby. The bass line of the song was alleged to have been sampled from the 1981 Queen and David Bowie collaboration Under Pressure. Although the case never went to court, Vanilla Ice settled out of court by paying an undisclosed amount to the songwriters and subsequently credited Queen and David Bowie as co-writers.
I did not know that. Okay. All right.
So this is, I think, one of the big ramifications also is that rather than going to Google and sifting through, you know, a bunch of different links or going to somebody's site and seeing their advertising, I now just have this one source of knowledge and truth that I asked through GPT-4. I see a lot of, you know, there's a big spectrum of takes on this. Some people are saying, you know, this technology is just a parlor trick. It's, you know, akin to writing I'm alive on a piece of paper and copying that. And I saw a take yesterday that somebody compared it to animals evolving eyes 500 million years ago, that it's the most important thing that's ever happened. Where do you fall in the spectrum as far as how impactful you see this in marketing and society as a whole?
Well, I think it's going to change everybody's job in some way. And there was a Wall Street Journal article yesterday that said that half of the U.S. workforce is going to be affected by it because their jobs are going to be changed in some form, some part of their job. And guess what it said? And this was a study, University of Pennsylvania, I think it was. And guess which ones they said were going to be changed the most?
The ones we didn't think. Creative types. That was originally supposed to be the safe haven, but it looks like that's going to be the first to go.
That was part of it. But this was surprising to me. Accounting, mathematicians, interpreters, of course, right? Because it just changes the language instantly. And writers, that's what this study said. And of course, what about you and I?
Well, I don't think that you're obviously irreplaceable.
I love you, man.
I feel like a lot of the disruption it's going to cause is just in future job openings. So it might not be at this point possible for them to say, okay, we're just going to use 100% AI now rather than having a marketing director here. But in the future, as we grow, whereas in the past, I might have needed to hire two or three, you know, junior designers to take care of workload. The way that these new technologies are making it possible to be much more productive, I think it makes it so that there's just fewer job openings in this space in the future, and especially in coding. Like, you know, if you're a senior developer and you had planned to hire two or three new junior developers this year to take care of, you know, fixing bugs or, you know, writing new code, at this point, you don't really need that because you've got an infinite amount of junior developers just at being GitHub Copilot and chat GPT and all these different tools. And so I don't know, it feels like that's how it's going to. Speaking of interpreter, though, I will share that I recently used GPT-4 as an interpreter, and it gave much, much better results than Google Translate, which if that's worth anything. We had a situation where we were shopping for a coat in this mall in Japan, and because of the time difference, we didn't realize it was so late, and they had already closed down, and we were shopping for like 30 minutes afterwards. And the nice sales lady was just so patient and was still helping us find a coat and everything. And then as we walked out of the door, I realized everything's closed down. Like the police officers are like locking up all the doors. And so I apologized, but I really wanted to send a nice note to the company to let them know, hey, this person went above and beyond. We didn't realize, but they were super patient. And I translated it in Google Translate, and it was weird. And it's when I got the reply back, the email made it sound like that they were mad or something. They said, we're deeply disturbed to hear your compliment. And I was like, oh no, what happened? But then I translated in GPT-4, and it was just, it took into context the way that they use excuse me as a way to say thank you, as opposed to like a way to, I don't know. Anyway, the translation came back as very positive and So I think that maybe GPT-4 takes into account maybe more things than just direct translation, but they understood the context of, you know, they use this word that maybe an American would consider to be negative, but in their context, they're saying this was a positive thing.
Interesting. I think, you know, I think we should have a segment in future iGEM episodes called Where in the World is Derrance? Because right now you're in Japan, but you've also been, let's see, you were in South Korea at one point. You're in Canada at one point. Mexican Riviera. I never know where you are. Actually, you do tell me. But my response is always, how would I know where you are? Like, I'm never sure. I love that. I think you and your wife just go everywhere with a suitcase. It's kind of a cool life that you have. Yeah, I love
so
it.
So thankful to you and for Wells Media for making it possible. But
oh yeah, my gosh. Well, we can leave the keys with you anytime, wherever you are, man. I wanted to talk a little bit about something that you did. You mentioned Midjourney AI the other day, or a minute ago. And the other day, something that you did with Midjourney was really fun. We were in a sales and marketing meeting, and you shared that you had merged three reps, Dina and Howard and Kelly, into a single rep, and you shared it, and it was awesome and hilarious and disturbing all at the same time.
Awesome and disturbing is a good way to kind of encapsulate this entire AI situation. But it's got the ability now to either blend various images. You can upload one or five images and say, you know, make a combination of all of these. You can tell it how much to weight each of the images. So for example, if we wanted to have more Howard in there, I could have said, make it 75% Howard and then the other can be the others. It also lets you find any image that's online and then tell it things you want to change about it. So for example, you know, we can take a photo of Mark Wells from the website and say, but, you know, put him in a space suit. And it came up with a really cool illustrated version of Mark Wells in a space, in an astronaut helmet. So, it's pretty amazing. I've signed up for a 1-month plan to Midjourney because it seems like development is happening so fast that the idea of signing up for a year-long subscription didn't make any sense because by next month, you know, there might be something that's way better or it might be a completely different context. And so it is advancing so fast. But right now I've been having a really fun time just working on refining prompts and seeing this new creative tool that's given to us.
It is happening fast. You know, OpenAI has the tool DALL-E. Have you played with that one?
Yeah, that was the first one that came out, but they didn't open it up so much. I didn't get to play with it personally.
I used it the other day. I was thinking that, you know, because our daughter, she's 11 and she loves anime. She'd love to live with you in Japan, actually. She would love that. But I had her come up one day when I was playing with it and I said, you can type anything you want and it'll make it, right? Which is a crazy thing to say to someone who loves to draw, right? And so she typed in, astronaut eating pizza with rainbows in the back. And then suddenly, like instantly, there was an astronaut eating pizza with rainbows in the back. And she was like, wow, you know, that's a crazy new world. Oh, gosh. I heard about a new AI tool in that Canva is putting in. And I saw a video of it. I haven't used the AI tool, but I saw a video where they typed in that they wanted, like they erased the cat and they said, put in a beagle with a top hat. And it just like instantly made a beagle with a top hat. But here's my question. Because I just saw this video of it happening, was it fake AI that made the video of the thing happening, or does it really happen? Because we all know, you know, that the promise of technology and the reality of technology are always very different things, right? So What do you think about those instant tools like Canva that supposedly make things so quick and make, you know, a designer apparently obsolete? What do you think? Does it really work? Is it hype?
Well, you're right that I think that right now there's kind of a mad rush to ship things and to at least, you know, show videos of things that are in development to not get left behind in this. And so I feel like I'm a little bit in the mode of, okay, I just want to, rather than try to comprehend that everything that's being released every single day in a month, to see the things that have really stick and that have rose to the surface. So I haven't used the Canva one either. It did look pretty cool that they were able to, you know, as a designer, I noticed it looks a little bit blurry. I feel like I could do a better job of that, but it was instant. So I guess the two takes on that is, one, many of the things are probably a little bit overhyped at the moment, but I do think that they'll get there. And I think that what it means for, you know, for creative types and designers and marketing people is that now that the execution isn't the issue and the production isn't the bottleneck, it's all about the idea now of having a good idea. You know, whereas in the past, you know, we would maybe have to shape our advertising based on what photographs were available. Like if we didn't have the ability to hire a photographer, we would just have to look on the stock photo site and see, okay, well, this kind of fits the idea I'm going for. Let me make a headline based off of this. But now it can just be completely the concept, where in your mind you imagine what's the cleverest headline in combination with an image and then make that happen.
Right.
So I'm excited about it personally. I've seen mixed results with Midjourney. If I try to get it to do something very specific, sometimes it just ignores a command. Like I did one yesterday of having a person reading a book sitting with their Pomeranian dog. And I tried it like four different times and it would not make me a Pomeranian dog. Every other type of dog, but it just wouldn't put a Pomeranian in there. So I feel like, you know, there's still kind of in the development stages, but, you know, from where it's at right now, it's already incredible. And, you know, you can see the glimpse of, you know, the magnificent tool it's going to be as it continues to develop.
Agreed. We talked about the cool things about AI. We talked about some of the jobs that are going to be changed, which seem like the majority of jobs that are going to be changed. But what are the fears? What are the fears? I mean, because Elon, he just came out with a group of tech leaders, right? And he called for a pause on all advanced systems, citing, and I quote, risks to society. So maybe we should talk about that. Da-da-da-dum.
I've heard some people that dismiss it as saying they just want to catch up. They say, okay, everybody stop working on it so we can catch up. But I think Elon for years has been talking about this as a giant existential risk. So I do think that he is, you know, earnest in his suggestion that it should be paused and slowed down. I don't think it's possible to pause and slow down at this point. The box is already
open. I don't either. Yeah, I don't either.
Do you feel like there's a big risk to, you know, further than just disrupting jobs or things like that? Do you feel like if it reaches the point of being an artificial general intelligence or an artificial super intelligence, do you feel some type of like existential risk like Elon Musk?
I do. I think the biggest risk has to do with people seeing something with their own eyes, because visuals are so emotional, right? Seeing something with their own eyes and believing it, and it just being BS, right? Like, and there are a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good that can happen. And social media taught us that. And there's also a lot of bad that can happen. And so I think we have to all be very cautious about, from now on, and we always should have been, but from now on, especially about what we see and what we hear. I mean, the AI audio is incredible. So, I mean, I might hear someone that I value a lot say something and it's not true. So I think that's the biggest risk are the fakes. That's
did you, there were a couple of recently. There was, you know, maybe I think a week and a half ago, images of Trump being arrested and like fighting his way.
I saw that. Yep.
It instantly registered to me that this was AI generated, but people in the comments were really believing it.
Sure.
Then there was one a couple of days ago that was the Pope in a puffy white stylist jacket.
And I saw that too.
It looks believable, but I still don't think that's true. There's one yesterday that I really don't know if it's true or not that showed Mark Zuckerberg walking down the aisle for like Gucci or something like that. The reason I'm not sure about it is because a tech person framed it as now nothing cool can ever happen because you don't believe this actually happened. It showed Mark Zuckerberg like in a fashion, I don't know, what do you call it? The catwalk when people are walking on. So that's the first one that I've seen. I feel like as a designer that we have, you know, a little bit more sensitivity and being able to detect a fake one. But that's the first one I've seen that I genuinely don't know if it's true or false. And I guess I have to try to figure out which source I can believe on, whether it is or not. Mm-hmm. With video as well, it's like it's not really there yet, but it seems like soon it'll be where, you know, especially with people that have lots of footage of themselves talking, like politicians or podcasters, where it'll be very easy for somebody to fake a video. I sent a message to the family yesterday that said, hey, all this cool AI stuff is happening, but, you know, we should be aware of the risks. If you get a video or an audio from me or Lily asking for money or passwords or gift cards, give us a call first and like
smart,
talk about some shared memory to make sure it's really us.
Very smart. Very smart. And I think another caution, especially for those in the marketing world, is, you know, before you just throw something out into the world from ChatGPT or any AI in your newsletter, better fact check that stuff because that's pulling from some source, right? Somewhere. So in fact, I think there may be a whole new jobs maybe in newsrooms and things like that where, you know, we've got a whole group of people who are specifically fact checking because it's going to be so easy to just put content out in the world. And does this have a ramification for insurance even? Just, you know, and throwing things out in the world, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Lots to think about. I think if I bottom line this, I would say proceed with caution. Is that what you would, is that your bottom line, Darrence?
Yeah, I agree with that. That, you know, I think that that's a good perspective on it. Personally, I think I'm kind of in the, you know, I love tech hype and I love futurism and all of this stuff. So right now I'm in the just enjoying it and just seeing all this crazy new stuff that's coming out. I think long term, I also do have a little bit of the same fears that Elon does. And I guess when, you know, on that spectrum of saying this is the most important thing that's ever happened to humanity and that it's just a parlor trick, I kind of feel like I equate it to when humans or when people started using fire, and that there's some really apparent and instant uses for this. And it's very exciting that now we can see in the dark in our caves or we can stay warm or heat up our food. But I feel like the people, what, 200,000 or 500,000 years ago that started using fire had no context to be able to conceive of what the dangers of fire would really be. Like, or the benefits, like they just couldn't understand that this fire is eventually going to like power a locomotive or generate electricity. And they also couldn't understand this is eventually going to be used to make like gunpowder or bombs or something like that. So I feel like right now it's just so fun and it's relatively harmless. Like there is, you know, we're in the post-truth world where there's going to be tons of fake media that's coming out and there's going to be a lot of disruption for jobs. But I think that, you know, if at some point it develops into a robot that can have access to all the world's information and write and execute code to recursively make itself better, at that point, my mind can't conceive of what dangers or risks that would pose. But in the meantime, I'm enjoying, you know, it making my job much more, being much more efficient at my design and marketing job, and just really enjoying the new and innovative ways that people are using this technology to make cool things.
Awesome. I love the fire analogy, by the way. I really enjoyed talking to you, Darrence. I'm glad we're doing this together. And I'm looking forward to next time.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. I always enjoy talking with you as well. And, you know, you're somebody that I highly respect your thoughts and perspectives about life in general, also design and marketing. And so this has been a fun chat.
Thanks, man. Until next time, I'm Julie Tinney.
And I'm Darren Swak.
And you've been listening to iJam.
iJam.